Greetings, welcome back to One True Pod, the Athletics Big 12 football podcast currently. I'm Jason Kersey, joined as always by Max Olson and Sam Kahn, who you guys have been crushing this news the last couple weeks. Very proud to work with both of you. And you guys got to spend all day yesterday watching a Texas legislative hearing that was probably way more exciting than most of those things are. Max broke some major news this morning. We'll get into both those things. We're going to answer some listener questions. But first, a quick housekeeping note. This will be the last episode of One True Pod in this feed. Next week, we're being promoted to the Andy Staples Show and Friends feed. We'll publish there every Thursday. So if you aren't already subscribed to that feed, then please pause the pod right now and go do that, and then come back. We're not going anywhere. Guys, how are we doing today?
Good.
I hope they came. Did they come back? I hope they came back.
Oh, yeah, they came back. I'm not worried about it.
All right. Thanks for coming back, guys. You know, we are we're hanging in there. We're hanging in there. We're surviving and thriving, Jason.
Sam,
how are you doing?
I'm glad that the rapid fire nature of realignment went 9 days. Clearly, we'll be dealing with this beyond those 9 days, but I would just like to say thank you to Texas and Oklahoma for wrapping this up in a short fashion, because if we were still doing regents meetings and all that stuff right now, I think I'd be upset. But
oh my God.
But
if this had been like a 1 month process for the invitation to the SEC and all that, like, ugh.
I remember the last round of realignment, there was a lot of that. And so I am grateful to the efficiency with which this round has been conducted. So. I'm doing pretty well, all things told.
Well, guys, I think first we should, we'll kind of breeze through this a little bit, but I think we have to talk about the hearing in the Texas Senate yesterday. My God, some bombs were thrown, and you guys got the pleasure of watching that entire thing and writing a great recap of it. So I'm just going to let you guys take it from here. What did you guys, I guess I'll start.
You know, let's just go hour by hour. You know, it's about 6.5 hours. Let's just go a shot for shot remake here. Sam, what stood out to you the most, Sam?
Here, first, I'm going to.
That exhausting process of watching, some pretty high level grandstanding going on.
There was, here's what I will start with. My applause to Max for his exceptional screenshotting skills, which are on full display. If you go to theathletic.com and read our story about the Senate hearing and what went on, what Jay Hartzell said, what Bob Bowlesby said. There's a beautiful screenshot from Max of Bob Bowlesby staring daggers into the back of Texas President Jay Hartzell's head. And that photo, I think, is going to be the lasting image of realignment in 2021. So I am very pleased with that. And when I woke up this morning, I pulled up the story and I saw that it was actually on top of the story. I was very happy, so shout out to Eric Single for that.
I honestly, you know how this guy, you guys know how this is. Sometimes you take a screenshot or a picture like that, you put it out there, and then you realize like, oh, well, I wasn't putting it out there because Bob Bowlesby looks pissed, but I was just saying like, oh, there he is in the background. But the more people zoomed in on it, the more it got out of hand. His BS meter was going off pretty strong yesterday when Texas President Jay Hartzell was, showed up to take his tough questions from this committee. That was, I know this was not, they were not under oath or anything necessarily, but it was interesting to hear two of the most important figures in this whole deal have to, stand there for an hour plus and answer questions and hard questions about how we got here.
I think we got some answers that maybe we wouldn't have been able to ourselves, because Jay Hartzell or Bob Bowles may not feel compelled to tell us all of this stuff, and may be a little bit more cagey, but when you're in front of the Texas legislature, it's a little bit of a different deal. I think it was interesting to get the timeline a little bit more pinned down on how this happened. The fact that Jay Hartzell admitted to talking to OU President Joe Harris back in the fall, as early as September after he was appointed as Texas full-time president. That was interesting to hear that and them discussing that, and then to admit that he was the one who reached out to the SEC back in the spring, which I think that matches up with the timeline of the Big 12 reaching out to ESPN and Fox about the TV deal and basically being mm-hmm. rebuffed. Yep. So it gives us a little bit of a picture of how and what timeline Texas used to make this decision to move the SEC. I think that's pretty helpful in figuring out all of this and piecing it all together.
I think it's interesting that Hartzell, says he talked to Sankey, and now there's this question of, was that a violation of the Big 12 bylaws? Like, I mean, that seems like one of those legal questions that a judge is going to have to sort out. I mean, I don't know if there's really a correct answer to that. Do you guys think there is a correct answer to that?
Yeah, there was definitely like Hartzell tried to answer that, and definitely like that was probably one of those moments where there's some eye rolling going on behind him from Bowlesby, because to him, to the Bowlesby and the Big 12 and the eight remaining members, it's clear that their belief is if a conference contacts you, that the steps required in the bylaws in section 3.2 is you have to notify Bowlesby within 12 hours and you have to reject that offer or approach or whatever from that conference. And Bowlesby mentioned he would have wanted that to be rejected publicly. So I Hartzell's take, what was it, Sam? Basically that, well, since I called them, and the SEC didn't court me, we didn't think we were breaking the rules.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. He said, I'm not a lawyer when I read this, but the way he reads it, they didn't violate the bylaw because the SEC didn't approach them. The SEC didn't court Texas. It was Jay Hartzell who lobbed the first call, the first Zoom meeting with Greg Sankey. That's the way he put it.
This is all just, kindling for the bonfire of their divorce negotiations that will take place here. And what Texas and OU try to argue, I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure Bowlesby's very interested to hear that. But this stuff's going to get this stuff is going to get interesting. And I thought that it was interesting to hear more from Bowlesby on, how little he knew about this going on. He certainly he had to answer a lot of questions too about 2016 and about, why did the Big 12, not pursue expansion at that time and grow their membership beyond 10, and would that have helped, anticipate the potential future loss of Oklahoma and Texas? And so he had to talk through that as you saw quite a bit, Sam, that he had to answer for why isn't Houston in the Big 12. There's some folks on that committee who are not happy about the other Texas schools not being a part of this conference. But the thing that Bowlesby said yesterday that sort of tipped off the news that we put out today is, there is no timetable for expansion, but also he seems to clearly feel that the Big 12 needs to pursue partnerships with other conferences, whether that is a scheduling alliance or a merger or going to the TV partners together or whatever, that they need to take that step of exploring all of that first before they get into this idea of adding, some group of five schools to the Big 12 to try and fill the massive hole that Oklahoma and Texas leave.
Again, we don't want to spend too much time on this. We do want to get to our reader questions, but I have to mention the exchange between Hartzell and State Senator Lois Kolkhorst. Am I pronouncing that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When she questioned him on their budget and then said that they don't have a winning football team, and then sort of said, well, you're 3-7 against TCU. Maybe you want to go 3-7 against Alabama or whatever it was that she said. Like, that was pretty. Whew.
That was one of the things that I found fascinating about this whole thing was, as Max alluded to at the top, was a lot of grandstanding. This was definitely a chance for members of the Texas State Senate to point their bows and arrows at Jay Hartzell and Texas and get off their jokes and insults and quips. Charles Perry, who represents Lubbock, who's a Texas Tech grad, said that, you should have made the Big 12 better than it was, and you didn't. And so there was a lot of that going on. Certainly
the Mac Rhodes one, a lot of my colleagues around the country believe the University of Texas created the situation because they think so highly of themselves. My humble opinion, I completely disagree. I think it's because they felt too little of themselves. The high-profile success of a neighboring conference has created in them an unwarranted insecurity that is metastasized, and unfortunately, so many of us bear the fallout.
It's so good.
They were tossing some heat yesterday.
It's so good. It reminded me a little bit of, Max, I know you did. Sam, I'm not sure. Did you watch Veep?
I have not.
There's just, Max, do you remember when Dan is worried that he's going to have to go before a congressional hearing and his lawyer is telling him like, okay, it's going to be grandstanding. There's going to be this. And if they think they're going in for a kill, they're going to, it's a lot more vulgar than we probably can be on this podcast, but he basically says, everybody wants the TV soundbite. And so he's telling him, you got to be careful because everybody wants the TV soundbite. And that's what it sounds like here yesterday.
They were getting off their shots, no doubt.
Oh, no, there was no like conclusion at the end where they're like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do for these Texas schools to protect them in case the Big 12 dissolves or anything. The ending was just sort of like, all right, well, you know,
thanks for coming.
Maybe we'll talk more, you know, like there's not really much a whole lot of action off of that thing. I guess we'll see. But it was certainly interesting to see the Texas politicians sort of try to jump into the ring here and try to exert, I get, you know, some influence on this in the future here.
Well, very interesting. And Max, again, real quick, we want to touch on your breaking news from this morning. Great job by you breaking this, that the Big 12, that Bob Bowlsby is going to be meeting with the Pac-12 commissioner today to discuss possible scheduling alliance. Do you want to talk a little bit about that before we move into the listener questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is not, it doesn't mean something's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next, you know, next month or next year on this stuff. I think this is the Big 12, you know, Bob Bowlsby and the leadership of the Big 12, they are exploring whatever they got to explore to try and have some options here and to try to, you know, hold these eight schools together and try to improve their position financially after OU and Texas leave, which, you know, certainly we know that even with the big payouts that Texas and Oklahoma have to make to get out of the Big 12, you're talking about the loss of value of just the TV deal for this conference is at least 50%. And so they got to find some way to fix that. And it sure seems like exploring any partnership you can with a Pac-12 league right now, or excuse me, with a Power 5 league right now, it seems to be an idea that folks in the Big 12 are rallying around, at least to explore. You know, even to the point that, like, you know, does West Virginia want to play games in the Pac-12? Not ideally. No, that's not where they want to end up. But they're not opposed to exploring this because, you know, unless you've got an offer on the table from the ACC and they don't right now, you can't be very picky. You've got to find something that's going to keep your Power 5 stature and hopefully get you to a more secure place financially. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. These talks with Bob Bowlsby and George Klyavkov, I think the Pac-12 is in an interesting position here where, you know, you've got a brand new commissioner who, you know, has a chance to make some moves here and try to forecast the landscape and do something creative. Whereas the Big 12 is in a more tumultuous position, not desperate yet, but certainly trying to find something that's going to work here. Can you guys, not to you know, jump to conclusions too much, but what do you think of that idea, just conceptually, of let's say the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have a scheduling arrangement, and I don't know what exactly form that takes. Is that something that's hard to wrap your head around, or is that just, hey, sign of the times, like, got to do what you got to do?
Definitely, in my opinion, makes sense. I think you got to do something because these are the two vulnerable leagues. The Big 12, obviously, the most vulnerable of the Power 5 at this moment, and the Pac-12 is the next most vulnerable. So you got to do something, and I think this is, like you said, sign of the times as a creative way of addressing the problem for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about, but I also would, you know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined Nebraska in the Big Ten or, you know, Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. I mean, this is a new world of college athletics. So I think everybody's going to have to get creative. Now, what I do want to know is if the scheduling, I mean, I'm sure we're talking about football here, but if you get into the other sports, you're right about West Virginia. Like, imagine if West Virginia soccer has to play like USC. I mean, that kind of stuff will be insane. I mean, to try to schedule and organize. So,
well, it also just illustrates the urgency to stay in a Power 5 league that like, you know, they would do that if they have to, I think. And especially if the ACC doesn't want them, because these schools are terrified of the threat of just massive budget cuts and layoffs and cutting sports and all that would come with, you know, having to move down to an AAC or Mountain West or whatever. So, it's, now you would hope if they're having some sort of merger or alliance that there's still kind of a clear, you know, East-West split or whatever. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you could say, oh, for West Virginia, this isn't that bad having to travel to Colorado or Utah or whatever compared to Lubbock or Austin. But that would be pretty wild if it actually came to that.
Yeah, Morgantown to Corvallis would be quite a road trip.
But you know what? If West Virginia fans went to Washington State, I bet those folks would get along great and have a hell of a night, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to monitor that moving forward. Let's get into our questions. We put out a mailbag solicitation to take some listener questions yesterday. We got a lot of great ones. Thanks to everyone who asked one. We're gonna go through a few of these. Let's start with Alex from El Paso. Great city. I really have enjoyed my time in El Paso. Underrated city, I think. But anyway, Max, what is that face? Come on. What's wrong with El Paso?
I've only been to El Paso once.
Don't have any El Paso slander on this pod, man.
I got no El Paso slander. I've been to El Paso once. I did when I was in high school, we did a mission trip to Juarez right before it became a lot less safe to do a mission trip to Juarez. And can't say I've been to El Paso enough. I'm sure I'm missing out.
My first game on the OU beat was at UTEP, oddly enough. 2012, OU opened at UTEP. Pretty interesting. Anyway, so Alex wants to know, he says, hypothetically, if Iowa State wins the conference title game, does that change how other conferences see them, i.e. the Pac-12 and the Big Ten? Alternatively, if TCU makes the title game or wins it, does this push them forward to the list of teams of other conferences to grab after the collapse of the Big 12? Let's, Max, why don't you go first?
Well, so first of all, we wanted to take mailbag questions from y'all because, you know, it gets a little boring for us to just sit here and speculate about all these potential outcomes. So I appreciate you guys throwing some stuff at us to see what makes sense. I'm sure you guys have had this experience too. Like, you know, you talk with a lot of like ADs and administrators and stuff during this time about what's coming. But if you like talk to coaches, they're a little bit less in the loop about what's going on in the Big 12. And so like a lot of them do sort of have that opinion of like, just win, baby. Like if we're successful this fall, then maybe that's going to help. That's all we can. That's as a football staff, that's all you can do to help your position is try to be successful. I could see that. I'm sure that, TCU going to a Rose Bowl was beneficial to their, you know, long-term, not just the improvement of their school, but helping strengthen their position as being, you know, respected as a Power Five league. And I think if Iowa State wins a Big 12 title or, you know, wins a big New Year's Six Bowl again, like, yeah, I think that would be very well timed for, for your future there. Of course, the grant of rights still, it doesn't mean you're going to go bounce to some better conference next year. You're still stuck with this through 25. So I almost wonder, do you guys think you have to think of that more in terms of just a kind of a 4-year period here of like, hey, this is the time to be really successful before this deal's up?
Yeah, I think it depends on how quick things move on this. Are things going to move quickly because of the OU Texas move, or is it going to be a little bit more deliberate because they have till 2025 and the Big 12 is clearly going to do everything it can to keep OU in Texas? I think you mentioned the TCU Rose Bowl. I think that was pretty well timed for them before the Big 12, but it also came on the heels of extended success. And I think that's what puts those programs, when you talk about on-field success, I think it has to be extended over time, and TCU had that, and that's what opened the door for them to get into Big 12, in addition to the fact that they were in a nice television market. Iowa State has had some really good success under Matt Campbell, but it's only been for a short time because Matt's only been there for a while. But it doesn't hurt. It does not hurt if you win a conference title, go into the Fiesta Bowl last year, and if they're able to win the Big 12 this year, it certainly helps. And if they can keep Matt Campbell, which it certainly doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, I think that helps them too, because they've got a really good fan base. They've got a really good game day experience. It's a great college town. But ultimately,
and you've also got a chip that these other Big 12 schools wish they had, which is that AAU status.
Right. Absolutely. But ultimately, I think what realignment is about, and they'll become a theme as we answer these questions, is these days it's about football inventory. and what is good football inventory. TCU is pretty solid football inventory. Iowa State wasn't before, but maybe they are now. And I guess a lot of it depends on how many viewers they attract. And we're not talking cable households like we were 10 years ago, because that's not the world we're projecting. But still, eyeballs is what's important. And so I think it helps, but I don't know. Iowa State winning the conference championship, does it change their fortunes drastically? I don't think so. But if they were to go undefeated to make the playoffs, maybe that does.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, I wonder, Texas hasn't, I mean, we've covered this a million times, but like, it's not like Texas has been tearing it up in the last 10 years, but they were still an extremely attractive option to the SEC. Baylor has won the Big 12 twice. They've played for another conference championship. They have a Heisman Trophy winner in the last 10 years, and they're not part of this at all. So I still think it's an uphill battle for some of those teams that don't have the money and don't have the brand. But it would certainly be interesting. I do think the AAU thing is certainly a leg up that they have.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go next to Mike. Mike G asks, he wants to know if there's any truth to the buzz that Kansas and the Big Ten have mutual interests. If there's truth to that, why or why not? Sam, let's go to you first this time.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything substantive on that outside of the one report that came out a couple weeks back about Kansas reaching out to the Big Ten. But I have not heard anything that makes me believe that there's real legs to them going to the Big Ten, or the Big Ten having real legitimate interest in them. Certainly the Big Ten is going to game out any of its options, because it's going to want to keep itself in a position of strength relative to the SEC. So certainly I would imagine that Kevin Warren and the powers in the Big Ten are going to be eyeing the potential options, but I haven't heard anything to this point to suggest to me that Kansas or the Big Ten is something that's real.
Yeah, I'm definitely not, I don't think any of us are in a position right now to say certain things are not going to happen, right? It's just, we got a long road ahead here. I do think whatever like opinions exist presently among those other Power Five leagues about the value of Big 12 schools, like I think we'll see how much things change here in the next few years that sort of affect that perception and that need to make a move or not make a move. I've heard that Kansas has been a little more aggressive in trying to find a home. But, you know, I don't want to give people false hope here either. And I think there's going to be a lot of that going around over the next few months is, oh, they've set up a call with this league and they're in talks with these folks and they're making big or mutual interest or whatever. Like, this stuff's not going to happen fast. And as Bob Bowlsby has repeatedly made clear, the grant of rights is a big part of that, that unless this whole conference folds, you're not. You know, you're not leaving until 25 without paying this massive penalty that maybe only Texas can afford to pay, right? And so I understand the urgency of trying to find that next home if you think the Big 12 is going to die, and certainly there's aspects of Kansas that are as we mentioned, the AAU part of it are really appealing, but don't want to give people false hope on this stuff and say, yeah, the Big 10's serious about Kansas, because I think right now, from what we've gathered, it doesn't seem like the Big Ten leadership is super sold on the value that these eight Big 12 schools bring. Now, I'm not saying they can't be swayed on that over time, but these things are just not going to happen fast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kansas has basketball, which is certainly an attractive brand, but at the same time, these decisions are about football. I mean, they just are, and so I don't know. Now, we did see Kansas doing some pretty aggressive marketing of itself on Friday. What do they have, a new terminal in the airport coming 2023? I believe is what that
tweet said. In Kansas City airport.
It can't come soon enough. That airport sucks. I mean,
was that the Kansas City airport? So they weren't talking about the Lawrence airport?
No, I don't know why Kansas I thought they City were talking airport.
About the Lawrence airport. Yeah, they're talking about the KC airport eventually being upgraded. That reminds me of the, oh God, I got to look this up now because I want to get this right.
I think I've only been to the Kansas City airport once, and that was a long time ago, and I don't really remember anything about it. So
I remember my one time at the Kansas City airport. I had to cover K-State and TCU a few years ago, and I drove to Manhattan, and the game got delayed at kickoff for 3 hours because of lightning. And then I ended up driving back to the KC airport that night in rain and dark, and it was not a fun experience. I don't remember much about the airport. I just remember the
trip itself, to be clear, Lincoln Airport sucks more. I'm not saying that, that it's the worst airport I've ever been to or anything like that. That's not the case. But this it reminds me of, do you remember back in the Bryles years at Baylor, Sam, when you know, Baylor, they're hosting recruits on a visit, and they put up a poster board saying, you know, coming soon to Waco, Papa Dough, Papacitos, In-N-Out, Whole Foods, Potbelly. And it's like, okay, hopefully those things are coming soon. I don't think all those things actually did come to Waco.
They did. They got a
Fuego. They do have Fuego. They should have put Fuego on the board. But I like that, trying to you know, create this allure of what you have to offer on things that, that are coming in a few years. I mean, that's maybe just, you know, don't you don't have to mention the airport. It's okay. You're not even that close, you know. There's other ways to tout what you got besides that airport.
All right, let's move next. We have a question from Patrick M. It's not Patrick Mahomes, I don't think, because this question isn't about Texas Tech. But he asks, assume you are the czar of college football realignment, and before you for judgment are the following: TCU, Baylor, Kansas State, all other Big 12 teams have found homes. What would you decide regarding their conference membership? What criteria did you use? And what do you predict will happen to those programs in 10 years? So who wants to be the czar first?
I'll start.
Okay.
I'll start. If I'm the czar of college football realignment, Texas, TCU, Baylor are in a reformed Southwest Conference with Texas Tech and all the other Texas schools. OU and Texas obviously can go take their ball and go somewhere else, but we're going to get the old Southwest Conference back together. And
except Arkansas, actually, you know what? Right?
Forget that. We're going to bring Arkansas back, and we're going to bring Texas back. We're going to kill this SEC thing, and we're going to just bring the old Southwest Conference back. And then we're going to turn it to what I call the Super Southwest Conference, and we're going to add OU, we're going to add Oklahoma State, and then we're going to add Nebraska. And that's going to be our 12-team Super Southwest Conference. So that's my thing. So, no, but in all seriousness, if – you're trying to find a home for TCU and Baylor, I would assume the next best home is probably wherever Texas Tech is, because you would want to keep them with them. Ideally,
and that was a message that was repeated over and over in the hearing yesterday, Sam, right? That, that these three, no matter what's going down, it seems like these three are determined to collaborate and stick together.
Yeah, I think keeping those three together would help. So wherever, if Texas Tech ends up in the Pac-12, then hopefully you would hope that TCU and Baylor are able to go with them. And then Kansas State, I mean, and this is me just being a fan of rivalries, I would probably prefer they stay with Kansas. And so wherever Kansas goes, I would think it would be great to keep Kansas State with them. So that would be the way I would do it.
Yeah, I think you keep the Texas schools together. You know, we've gotten some backlash. You guys haven't, but Andy Staples and I have gotten a little bit of backlash from the K-State folks who think that we are not giving them enough love during all this. And I apologize if that's been the case. That certainly is not my intent. In an ideal world, I think you're the next home for K-State, if everyone's splitting up, would be to get into the Big Ten. So can you find a way to do that? Can you get Nebraska on your side to say, hey, we'd love to have someone 2 hours away from us that's in this conference? You know, that would be, that would, can, and I don't know, is that, so if these others found homes, then did Kansas and Iowa State get into the Big Ten, I guess? I don't know, but I would agree on keeping them together. And, you know, I think it's not like the Big Ten is only, you know, large college towns. Like, there are smaller markets in that conference, like Purdue. So I don't think K-State would be that, you know, strange, you know, that odd of a fit, I don't think, in the Big Ten. So why don't we send the K-State to the Big Ten? I think they would be a totally fine competitive member in that league that also would not try to tear the conference apart the way Texas and Oklahoma did.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that seems like maybe the ideal place for Kansas State. I really hope that Kansas State does end up being okay. That's a cool town. I really like Manhattan. Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's a great atmosphere for game day. It's one of my favorite atmospheres in the Big 12, honestly. So I would hate it if they end up sort of in the wilderness the way that TCU was 30 years ago or whatever. It's interesting though that, you know, Kansas State and Baylor, when I was growing up and when we were all younger, Baylor was just automatically going to be sixth in the Big 12 South every year. I mean, they've really done a lot for with their athletic programs, I think, to make themselves more attractive. And they're the defending men's basketball national champions. So, I mean, they do have stuff to offer. But I'm sort of with you. I think Baylor, TCU, and Tech really need to stick together. And maybe even Oklahoma State. It'd be good if they could be part of that, too.
I would agree with that. I think those four staying together would be good.
And that'll also be the curious thing is after this meeting, does the Pac-12 just say, we'll just take these four and not link up with all eight of you? Maybe that's a preferred route for them. I don't know. I'm very, as I've said, the new Pac-12 commissioner, George Klefkov, is kind of a wild card in all this. So maybe that is something that gets a little bit more talked about here going forward, or do they, do they get serious with the Big 12 or the Big 10 or, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, great question, Patrick. Thank you for that. Next we'll go to Joseph, who asks, if the AAC wants Big 12 leftovers, why not do a relegation format? I love this question. Call it the American Premier League, where top eight teams play each other every year. More money for the top teams would dramatically help the top teams improve strength of schedule. Would this make the AAC appealing to Big 12 teams?
No, because they're already getting relegated now with OU and Texas leaving, so they're not going to sign up for the possibility of it happening again. Now, that said, I am a big proponent of doing this to the entirety of college football. I would be much better if we had a bunch of 8 or 10 team leagues and then pair them up. Like I said, you could pair up the SEC and the Sun Belt. You could pair up the Big 12 and the American. You could pair up the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. And the top teams are in the power conference, and then the bottom two get relegated, and the top two in the lower corresponding league get promoted. And I love that idea in college football as a whole. But yeah, would this make sense in only the American Athletic Conference? No, I don't think it would.
What if we could do this in a way where you say, okay, the Big 12 and the AAC are coming together. However, and just I'm just playing out this format. So you say, okay, we're going to have two leagues and we're going to go by most successful football programs over the last decade. Okay. And so UCF, you're up. Kansas, you're down. You kind of do those swaps and so that the best 8 or best 10 or whatever you want to go with are playing at that Big 12 level and getting that payout. And then, you've got the rest in the AAC, and the champ of the AAC, gets to come. I think that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, I could see now financially that would be way too stressful for every institution, I'd imagine. And I don't follow European soccer at all, basically. So I don't know the ins and outs of this, but a little hard to sort of bet on yourself so much in that way with relegation in college athletics. But man, that would be at least on the football side, that would be pretty cool to see, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Real stakes.
I mean, why not? Like, why not get creative? The SEC got creative. The Big Ten's gotten creative in recent years. Like, screw it. Like, let's just have some chaos and some fun. And if that's what it takes to sort of save these schools, then why not give it a shot? I think it's an interesting idea, but I don't know if it's totally feasible.
Jason, do you want to go to Jeremy's question next?
Jeremy's question. Oh, Sam was really excited to answer this question, I think.
We can do this one quick. Yeah, let's get to this one.
So Jeremy L. wants to know if there's any chance that San Diego State would get a look in the Big 12. Now, I love this question because it's sort of out there and a little bit different. I haven't heard anybody really talk about San Diego State. I don't think that's going to happen. But also, why not? Like, we're talking about a geography doesn't matter anymore. Like, yeah. I certainly wish that we still lived in a world where geography mattered. It kind of made it college football what it was. You had the Southwest Conference, the Big Eight, the SEC, Pac-12. Everybody was sort of in their little regions. That's all out the window. So why shouldn't the Big 12 look at a team in California? I don't know. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, obviously. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but it's fun
to talk
about.
You know what,
though?
And back in Bowlesby said on Monday that, you know, when they looked at expansion last time, he said they looked at 18 different schools. Now, I think at the time, you know, it sort of came out there was like, I think maybe 13 of them got in-person interviews.
11, excuse me.
Yep. But, like, I think they'd be on the list to be at least be considered. And here's my solution here. So if the Big 12 can stick together, then every 4 years or whenever, when you've got West Virginia versus San Diego State, you either, you know, you could go home and home because I think that'd be probably fun for both sides to see a different part of the country, or just meet in the middle, you know, and just play at Arrowhead or something like that, right? Just make it a little bit easier for both of them on the travel side.
Meet me in Temecula.
Meet me in Temecula. Yeah, that's right. find a stadium in the midpoint between those two places and, you know, just call it good.
Yeah.
No, if the Big 12 is going to expand, San Diego State is definitely a program I think you consider based on that they have a pretty solid track record of success over the last decade. I mean, their team that's perennially won in the, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. And it's a great locale. I mean, if I can sign up for a road trip to San Diego, hey, I'm down for that. So
I'm happy to fly out there and explore what their candidacy should be for the Big 12. We could do that project for sure. And Jeremy mentions like they're looking to become a, you know, R1 institution in the next 5 years, and they want to expand to 50,000 students in the next decade. Like, that is actually part of this thing, is sort of projecting out, okay, where are you going to be in 25 and beyond when it's time for the Big 12 to make these decisions. So,
right. But if they did that,
why not consider them?
I would think you'd also would want to consider someone else in that region, whether it's Boise State, BYU, Colorado State, else on the West Coast that essentially serves as a travel partner. And those are also programs that I think would be under consideration if the Big 12 decides to expand.
Yeah. Well, great question.
It's possible that the future Big 12 is just got a couple random Mountain West and a couple random AAC teams in it, right? Like, that we can't say that can't possibly be the case, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Well, great question, Jeremy. Thank you for that. And we'll end on Joey R's question, which I love. Is there a Big 12 podcast at this time next year? And if so, which teams will you be discussing? Max, you want to take a shot at this one?
Ooh, it's a real existential question to reckon with on this Tuesday afternoon. I think what he's asking is it possible this thing is just completely folded up at this time next year, right? I mean, do we want to just address it literally in that sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the question.
I think there still will be a Big 12 next year.
Okay.
Okay, as of today, not to say we're calling our shots, but as of today, do you guys think Texas and Oklahoma are in the Big 12 on August 3rd, 2022?
I'm going to say it's 2023. That's my bet. I'm going to bet that it's 2023 lined up with an expansion of the college football playoff, assuming that still happens.
Which is now in jeopardy, Jason.
Which is now in jeopardy to some extent.
All right, I'm actually going to say that I think maybe screw it. I'm going to predict it. I don't think the Big 12 will exist next year. I don't see any point in dragging this out from anybody's perspective. I think that the other schools need to move on and think about their future. I don't think it behooves anybody to wait even 2 years, much less 4 years, to figure out where we're going next. So I could be completely wrong. That's not based on anything other than just a guess, but I think I'll say next year the OU and Texas are in the SEC and everybody else has moved on.
So no one's paying grant of rights because the whole thing imploded.
Yes. Because that's what it's going to take. It sounds like they're going to hold OU and Texas feet to the fire when it comes to that grant of rights, unless the Big 12 dissolves.
I don't think the league's going to dissolve because I don't know where the other schools are going to go. barring some kind of alliance with the Pac-12, and even if they reach that, I can't imagine that starts next year. That probably starts a few years out. I don't think there's a home for all these other schools, and not for all of them. You know, maybe West Virginia gets in the ACC, but again, when does it happen? The other thing is if these schools scatter, they are on the same. They're on the hook for the same grant of rights penalty that Texas and Oklahoma are, the $80
million. The same 2-year distribution.
Those schools are in a much worse position to afford that fee. So even if they do scatter and they do leave the league, I think it's more 2025 like they're trying to hold Texas and Oklahoma to. So that's why I think next year there still will be a league. And 3 or 4 years, who knows? But next year I think there still will be.
We gotta respect the pettiness, right? And remember that in the long run here, while everyone in the Big 12 needs to secure their future, I don't think you talk to anybody, you've been talking to folks too, Sam and Jason. You're not hearing anyone saying, man, I wish we could find a way so that we can go somewhere and not collect any of this Oklahoma and Texas money. Okay, they want theirs, and so
that's fair. That's a good.
I'm not
point.
Saying that overrides all of other needs. I'm not saying that at all. But
it's a lot
I
of
think
money.
That's one that right that you know extracting that kind of money from those two, I think is a reason why people are motivated to stay till next year.
I mean, it's $20 million per school if you're distributing those two exit fees to every school.
Unless you settle for something that's you know a lot less than that. But yes, you're right. That's a big. It makes a huge difference right now when you talk about budgets and just how scary the financial footing is here. For the next few years.
Well, a lot of great questions,
but I appreciate the hot take, Jason. Like I appreciate.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just going to be the guy that throws that out there and then looks like a complete fool at this time next year. So that's fine.
That's good.
It's all right. Well, all right. Well, thank you to everyone who asked questions. I apologize if we didn't get to yours. We didn't have as much. We don't have time to answer every single one of them, but we do really appreciate everybody who took the time to ask one. And thanks, Max. Thanks, Sam, for hopping on that again. I want to again reiterate this will be the last episode that appears in this feed, in the One True Pod feed. Next week, next Thursday, we will be moving to the Andy Staples Show and Friends feed. So please go subscribe to that. If you didn't pause the pod earlier and do it when I told you to, please do it after we're done here. We really would appreciate that. We're not going anywhere. We're really excited to keep bringing you guys this content. Okay.
And hopefully people will take a little more interest in the Big 12 this fall. I think that's part of this, right? Is there's going to be, I think, a little more national interest in what's going on in this this crazy conference of ours.
Can we just for a moment pause and consider what it's going to be like if, as we I think most of us expect, if Oklahoma wins the Big 12 or if Texas somehow wins the Big 12 this fall, that trophy presentation is going to be just chef's kiss.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah,
but that's going to be wild.
Yeah,
that's going to be wild times. And I'm going to be interested to see how the officiating goes. Max, you as a someone in Nebraska has some experience and knowledge of that. It is going to be a compelling season in the Big 12 with all of this being the lens through which we view it.
No doubt about it.
Buckle up.
Again, thank you all so much for listening and for asking questions. And we're looking forward to talking to all of you next week in the Andy Staples Show and Friends feed.